Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Governor Gavin Newsom of California, leading the Golden State and also watching Washington. Why? We welcome Bill Whalen of the Hoover Institution. Bill is going to help us understand Governor Newsom and his present journeys across America, especially to red state America. Bill's writes of Governor Newsom with metaphor, Governor Quixote, riding again. This is in California on Your Mind for the Hoover Institution. Bill, a very good evening to you. Some biography of Governor Newsom. He's well-born and he's connected to well-born families. What was his rise to power, to governorship? What was his journey? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. So the journey was simply this. Gavin Newsom graduates from college. He goes to Santa Clara College, which is a university, which is in Silicon Valley, just outside of San Jose. He then moves back up to San Francisco. He was born and raised in Marin County and becomes an entrepreneur of the first order. He is friends with the Getty family in San Francisco, John. So that provides financial backing, and he is smart enough to get into an upscale industry, which is wines and tourism and restaurants, and makes a killing on it. He is recruited by Willie Brown, then the mayor of San Francisco, to be serve on the parking commission. And then he segues from that into city supervisor. And there, from there, John, he becomes San Francisco's mayor. In his second term, he then has to decide what to do next. And then the 2010 election comes along, and he runs for what is seen as a mostly dead-end job, which is lieutenant governor. But he plays it out rather remarkably well, John, in that he just kind of takes advantage of the fact that the office has a very small portfolio. So he just gets involved in any and all issues. He does ballot initiatives, and then he runs for governor in 2018. And we know the rest of the story, reelected in 2022. And here he is now in his second term, and we're talking about him maybe having presidential prospects.
Along the way, as you recited his biography, he seems to please older mentors. Is that part of his profile, the Pelosis? You mentioned the Gettys. You mentioned Mayor Brown of San Francisco and longtime power in the legislature. So what about his personality pleases the older, more powerful?
Well, it's interesting. He is not somebody, when you read profiles about him, he doesn't have a big circle of friends. He's not like a lot of politicians who have very close allies or very close confidants, it seems. But he is good about remembering those who took care of him. He is related to Nancy Pelosi by several degrees. But so he's always been respectful of her, which ties into the politics of the Senate race here right now. But certainly been kind to the Gettys, because the Gettys were hugely important to him. But, you know, it's interesting, as he moves forward now, if he does indeed want to run for president, he's going to have to step on some toes to get there. And those toes happen to belong to one Kamala Harris, who, like Gavin Newsom, is a product of San Francisco. She was the city and the county's district attorney when he was the mayor. She was a senator when he was the governor. And now they both seem to covet the same job.
Yes, the recent activity of Governor Newsom has been a puzzle, because if I remember correctly, Bill, he's been spending his campaign money on ads that are highly critical of other governors, chiefly Governor Abbott of Texas and Governor DeSantis of Florida. That would be presidential ambition. He's also been touring in red states, and I note that he's been on Fox News recently. So all of this describes a man who's very ambitious, but there's no room at the top, Bill. So how do you explain, or how do you understand Governor Newsom's activities?
John, if you're puzzled, it's only because you're far less cynical than I am. I'm not puzzled, and I see this what I think it is. He's waiting. He's kind of circling around Joe Biden, waiting to see if something happens. He cannot run against Biden in the primaries, in part because I don't think he would win, but also would be considered a act of treason. It would really complicate his long-term relationship within the party. So what he is doing, and there are other Democrats who are guilty of it, I think Governor Whitmer is a good example of this in Michigan as well. They're just being ready just in case, the just in case being if Joe Biden changes his mind or something, God forbid, happens to him and he cannot run. So you see Newsom running now a political action committee, and I just got an email from them asking for money. He is going to red states and lecturing them on civil rights. He has now come up with his latest idea, which is a 28th Amendment to the Constitution having to do with gun control. It's all about making himself a presence within the Democratic Party and on a national level so that in the event something happens to Joe Biden, he can jump in the race. Because, John, if there is an opening in the presidential race, you got to move and you got to move fast.
I read in the Wall Street Journal that Gavin Newsom presents himself as a pro-business Democrat. Born again, pro-business Democrat. And yet the facts, to follow the journalist's reporting, do not support that he's pro-business. He's pro-business raised the taxes, not only on the well-to-do, but on the middle class. He was pro-business in San Francisco, but he also raised the taxes there. Does that attach to him, or is this, that was then, this is now, so that no one holds it against him?
So little is the San Francisco politics, John. There are always two progressives in the mayor's race, and one is decidedly to the left and will just kind of lead the city into the ocean, if you will, and the other one is seen as more pro-business. And that was what Newsom was when he ran for mayor, just as Willie Brown was preceding Newsom. In terms of being a pro-business governor, yes, he talks about having an entrepreneurial background, and he does, to his credit, stand in the way of some tax increases, because almost every year there is a millionaire tax proposed in California. But that said, there was a run on Proposition 13 a couple years ago, which would have changed property taxes on businesses. He was nowhere to be found in opposition to that. So he is being very, very selective, I would say, being very creative, having you believe that he is pro-business, if you will. California always raises, usually finishes last or dead next to last, John, in terms of a hostile business climate. And of course, we've seen the numbers of company headquarters that live in California and so forth. So I don't think if he's going to run around the country and try to become America's next president, he's not going to get there by claiming he's pro-business. That's just not going to fly.
More parts of Gavin Newsom are of interest to other observers. One is that he's very good looking. And his looks are qualified this way in the National Review Online. He's perfect for a Hollywood villain. Do you hear that talk in California? He's handsome like a crime boss.
Well, it's there's such a thing maybe as being too good looking for your own good. Governor Newsom's a handsome man. His wife, Jennifer, is striking. And there's a challenge in politics, John, where if you are that attractive, the voters necessarily relate to you or not, because this is not 1960 and this is not Camelot and the Kennedy. So Newsom has a biography coming out, an autobiography coming out, memoirs later this year, John. He's going to talk a lot about growing up with dyslexia and what it was like to deal with that, plus the fact that his parents divorced when he was young. So it's going to be a tale of woe. There's a rather remarkable piece in the Los Angeles Times today about his wife, Jennifer Siebel Newsom. She ran over her sister in a golf cart when she was young, killed her. And so she talks about the trauma of that. Jennifer Newsom is a very blonde, but also kind of an ice princessy woman from Marin County who kind of looks like she's entitled. And so what the Newsoms are doing, this is a Bill Clinton legacy, John, short and simple. Bill Clinton told us a harrowing tale of his growing up in the South and how rough it was for him. We kind of bought into him emotionally. And what the Newsoms are doing here, and this is all part of the presidential game, I'm convinced, John, you have to make yourself likable. You have to make yourself sympathetic. And so what they're trying to do in this, I think, is to overcome the looks, making themselves more sympathetic. Gee, I suffered a tragic loss when I was young. Gee, I have dyslexia. You can relate to me.
My understanding also is that Mrs. Newsom participated in the prosecution against Harvey Weinstein. I believe she was one of Weinstein's victims.
Oh, yes.
Did that resonate in not only inside California, which is a very sympathetic culture, but did that resonate across the country, or is that yet to be revealed?
That's really yet to pick up, and this is if Newsom does run and she gets more in the spotlight, this will come up. And this is a complicated topic, John. So she alleged that she was sexually assaulted by Harvey Weinstein, was raped by him. She testified to that on the stand. Now, the story is complicated because after she allegedly was sexually assaulted by Harvey Weinstein, she meets Gavin Newsom while she's dating Gavin Newsom. Remember, the revelation comes out that Newsom had an affair with a staffer who actually was married to his chief of staff, one of his top political consultants. Just a really terrible thing for Newsom to do. Supposedly, Jennifer Newsom reached out to Harvey Weinstein and asked for his help and his advice on how to handle this crisis. Kind of a curious thing to do if you're a sexual assault victim. Anyway, I'm just saying that if they do run and she does get more profile in national news stories, eventually this is going to have to be processed by voters in terms of that. By the way, when she did testify on the stand, her charge, the jury did not convict Weinstein on her particular charge. They were deadlocked on that one.
Since we're telling stories that remind me, I don't know, do they still use the word Peyton Place in metaphor and common parlance? I don't know. It's a long time ago, but there is also a story that Governor Newsom's first wife is now part of the Trump family. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think what you're looking for, John, the better analogy is The Bold and the Beautiful, which is a soap opera on CBS, and it's about this one family which does design. And everybody has slept with everyone by then, and everyone is somebody's ex-wife or ex-husband. You need a Venn diagram to kind of follow the relationships. And what you're getting to is that Gavin Newsom, when he married San Francisco, was married to Kimberly Guilfoyle, who is now the fiance of one Donald Trump Jr. So that kind of adds to the light. And by the way, the Newsom-Trump relationship is a really fun one to watch because Newsom has gone out of his way to say how well he and Trump got along during the pandemic. And so I don't know if that is meant to in some way tweak Ron DeSantis or what exactly, because DeSantis just live rent-free in Gavin Newsom's head. But it's just a curious relationship to come out. And by the way, if there's one thing Gavin Newsom could undo if he could go back in time, besides maybe that affair, he and Kimberly were photographed for, I think, Vogue magazine or Elle magazine, some high fashion magazine. They're in one of the Getty's mansions, and he is wearing, I think, a tux, and she's in a black gown, and they're lying on a rug. And it's just the worst visual for a politician ever. And I think he's actually joking about this thing. If I could get rid of that damn picture, I would.
Bill Whalen of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.